Jan Hiddink ontmoette Booth en Brown, ook om over hun obscure Gescom-project te praten, waarbij Gescom staat voor Gestalt Communications. Maar eerst gaat het, waarom niet, over de verschillen tussen het vorige album Tri Repeta en Chiastic Slide. Sean Booth geeft uitleg.
The last album was quite open. You could see everything that was going on, pretty much everything was up on show. This time it's a bit more inducing, and a lot of people switch off to that because they don't get induced very easily, or they don't allow themselves to be, so those people would have preferred the previous album. And now I think a lot more attention is being paid to kind of a weird expression that's going on in there now.
I think that we've stopped putting everything on show. We've started to shroud the complexity a little bit. We've tried to make our music more complex but appear less complex on the surface, so that it doesn't intimidate people into not listening, so that they'll listen to it on the sort of pretense that it's quite simple music and then start to notice things later.
When seeing and hearing your live, I recognized very little of your releases so far. So I'm wondering, is it me or is it you?
Oh, it's us. We just don't like doing our recorded music live. It's boring. You know, it's just like, what's the point in paying money to go and see somebody do something that you've already heard? Like, the whole point is to create something within that time.
Sometimes it's nice to be a bit cheeky and introduce a very familiar element.
Yeah.
Of what you've heard on CD and stuff. But we're kind of, we're bored of that now anyway. Our live set at the moment consists of just completely independent new pieces of music that probably won't ever get released. You know, we don't really want to release it because there's not much point. We might as well create something completely new and completely individual to every live event we ever do. And that's more interesting to us because we're not following a framework that we've set ourselves by reproducing old ideas.
Basically, if me and Rob work on something and somebody else is with us and they're helping work on it, then it's not Auteka, it can't be, you know, it has to be something else. And we just call everything that we work on Gescom that isn't Auteka, because that way there isn't a different pseudonym. If we had a different name every time we work with a mate, we'd have like 30 names, and we don't see the point in having 30 names.
I think originally when the word Gescom was used, it felt good because it was corporate. We were into corporate identities and stuff, and to have a load of people who weren't named, but it was like an umbrella. The word's just an umbrella for quite a few people doing lots of different things.
Yeah.
Mostly collaboration.
Yeah, I mean, we've always liked fucking around with corporate identity, stuff like that, because I don't think that it is only the domain of major corporations. I think anyone can do it, basically. You just got all the brains.
It works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your record company is very good at it. Warp is kind of a trademark.
Yeah, they're cool, you know. They're our mates. They got the same way of thought as we've got, you know. They're all...
We got involved, you know. They were doing exactly what we liked to see.
Yeah.
You know, and it captured our imagination, if you like.
The first people that did it were Kraftwerk, man. You know, they were the first people that did it. They were the first people that made music and work seem like they could be the same thing. You know, entertainment is work. We are working as your entertainment. You know, that sort of attitude. And I think it's good. It's almost Stalinist, you know. It's almost fucking Marxist, you know. It's like a completely different train of thought. But at the same time, it's using things that exist now and methods that exist now and that have been developed to manipulate us, not to manipulate people, but basically to avoid being over-manipulated by people who've got the money to do it. It's just playing other people at their own game, but being outsiders at the same time, and that's absolutely what we're into. You know, we're not interested in becoming part of the system. We want to basically use it to live the way that we live and do what we want to do, but we're not ripping anybody off in the process.
How's club life to you these days, maybe compared to earlier on?
Compared to earlier on? Oh, that's really difficult, you see, because what I'm going to immediately think of is the best time that I ever spent clubbing, which was earlier on. So in comparison, it's shit. But I could think of a bad night that I'd spent clubbing earlier on, and it'd be good in comparison, so I don't know. I think it's harder to, I think people are less open to new things. They want to have been fed it by the media before they'll go out to a night now. It's getting pretty sad, you know. It's like, if they haven't read about this person, then they're not going to go and check it out. People don't go out just to party. They go out to assess what is being presented. And I don't really like that attitude at all. We come from a background where people basically went out to parties and didn't know what they were listening to but enjoyed it. And then from that, people started to get interested and started to buy records themselves, and eventually it became so crossover that people go out now almost expecting to assess what it is that they're going to experience so that they can then go out and purchase it the next week. It's a very different attitude to partying, you know. It's I don't know, I don't like it as much, really. It's different. I'm concerned, but not too concerned, really, you know, because it'll come round again. Everything goes in cycles.